Welcome, Cooper.
Good evening. My name is Gloria Gorgolin. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I'm 57 and I'm still having fun in Alcoholics Anonymous. I just want to tell you that right now. Doing a lot of things I shouldn't be doing. And I get in a lot of trouble still, and that's okay. My sobriety date is February 21st, 1993. My home group is a Big Book group, and my sponsor is Duffy Nichols. And those are important things to me, and I hope you find them. I say anything tonight. I hope that, you know, in this 10 minutes, I hope that you find those three things. That you get a sobriety date that sticks, that you get a sponsor that you're current with, and that you get a home group. And it's kept me in good stead. I was telling Pat on the way up, thank you for inviting me. I offered to give Pat a ride, and I took her up on it. You know, she took me up on it and said yes. And then she said, oh, by the way, I just read something else. You're the 10-minute speaker, which I'm okay with. That's fine. What I want to say is this, is that Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life. And I have come in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous since I was 14 years old. I got sober at 15 for about 10 months out of a care unit down the street from my home group. I left with a really expensive book and went back to the old playground, the old playmates, and didn't do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my experience has been with no foundation in AA that you're going to pick up a drink, and that's what I did. I would drink all through high school up until I was about 21 and out of high school, obviously. But drinking on, ending up with two DUIs and coming to Alcoholics Anonymous on a court card and coming to meetings like this. I felt sorry. This is what you chose to do on a Sunday night. You know, that I would be coming here a little buzzed just to get my card signed and move on to continue to go drink. You know, in the end of my drinking, what I can tell you is that I was hanging out with people I couldn't stand that were doing the same thing that I was doing. And they were crawling out when the darkness came, and they were crawling back in when the sun came up. And, you know, I am from the time I was 15, the quarter playing, beer bonging, garage drinking gal, up until I was 25 when I came to you. I was the gal that couldn't drink hard liquor anymore because I fight with you men because you're usually popping off about something. So I'm in your face. What? You know, the ladies, it's like, yeah, keep doing your lipstick or whatever it is you do. Because I hear you. And I'm like, I'm sorry, are you talking to me? You know, and it's still an issue. I've gotten better. I've gotten better, and I have to act right with Pat. So, but what I know is this, is that I, you know, for me, one more time, in that at 21, when I got that DUI, you know, I ended up with another one at 9 months after into that court card, and they don't give you good time, work time for that. They just give you 18 more months in, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous on that court card in that class. And at that time, I stayed sober for 10 months. And in that 10 months, I had a sponsor. It took me through the 12 and 12. She should have spoke German. I had no idea what she was talking about. I had to turn myself in because I'd driven off the 605 freeway in a complete blackout dress like I am tonight. Except back then, I think I wore pantyhose. I did wear pantyhose. And, you know, I had to turn myself in, you know, for that. And when I was incarcerated, she told me to write down everything I'd take to the grave. And I was busy. I was just really busy in there, learning to play spades and working the night shift, cleaning the holding tanks. And when I got out of there, I hadn't done anything really. And again, with no foundation in Alcoholics Anonymous, I picked up a drink and would ride that out for another 4 years, running through people's lives and, you know, just trying to show you that it's going to be different this time. You know, I understand in the Big Book when it says that we build this bright future and then we tear it down. And I've done that sober too. So that's always fun. Gives you all something to talk about. But the big thing that I do know is this, is that at 25, I met some guy that was shooting pool. And by then I was hustling, shooting pool. And that's how I was making money because I couldn't hold a job. And he didn't want to shoot a game of pool with me. And he leaned over and that little necklace popped out with a circle and the triangle. And if you've been in AA a few times, you know the lingo, and you start to do, how much time you got? Where's your home group? Who's your sponsor? You know, and I'm sure he was impressed with the pitcher of beer that I had, you know, as I'm asking him all these things, telling him I've been sober. And I wrote my name and number down and I put it on his car. I assumed it was his car when I was leaving. It had a bumper sticker. It said, keep coming back. And He's Jason, the 90-day guy, and 90-day wonder is actually what I called him. And I had weaseled my way back into my mom's house at that time. I was 25, and Jason called and asked me out on my first date. Truly, I know that to be true because I either grew up with you, you know, and we hooked up and we were together for 5 years and all that. So he asked me out on a date, took me down to Las Brisas. I was living in Norwalk then, brought me back down to Norwalk, and I thought it wasn't real Mexican food. And okay, whatever. It's not. And I can show you down in Norwalk another place. Anyway, but he asked me out again. And here's what I do, what you do until I'm done with you. And then I discard you. And he was like, you know, well, he seemed super excited. And I said, yeah, let's go to a meeting. And, I had no idea that that night I would go out to a place called Skeefers in Huntington Beach and hustle at a pool table and drink beer and not get drunk. And, you know, and friends wanted to leave earlier than I did. And I had no idea that'd be the last time I took a drink, because I would have gotten it on had I, you know, had any idea. And Jason would pick me up and he took me to a place called Thursdays. I remember exactly where I sat at the table. And I remember the two things, where I sat, that it was a candlelight meeting, and I thought, how romantic. And the topic was relapse. And I know that you don't have to relapse to stay sober. My husband is proof of that. A lot of people are proof of that that I know. But my experience has been that I had to, and or that I chose to. I don't know. I started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous with him, only for one reason, like I said. And I sat up against the wall and I watched you all. And I watched how you acted in the room and I watched how you acted outside. And when it was different, I just stayed away from you. I knew that I was dying and I knew that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. I was getting really tired. And the hustle was a lot. And there was a guy in there with long hair and a beard that looked like someone my dad might have ran with. And he would raise his hand and everyone seemed annoyed with him, and I hated everyone else. So he was my friend and didn't know it. And he would share about things like use the big book as a filter for what you hear in meetings. And I would think, yeah, that's right. Whatever that means. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be nodding all the time, sitting up against the wall, staring at everybody, watching you all hug a little too much and smile at each other. And I thought, that's nice. And Bill would introduce me to my first sponsor, take me to a booth at Denny's and sit me. He started asking questions that were none of his business. And if it had been anybody else, I probably would have told him that. But I answered Bill. And he asked me if I had a sponsor. And I said, no. And I remember he sat here and Jill sat here. And he said, Jill, be your temporary sponsor till you can find one. She looked like she had pom-poms in her hand, was super excited. And I remember he could smoke then. And I was smoking. And I looked at her and looked back at him. And he would just nod. And I would go, yeah, it's great. And what I know today is this, is that I didn't want Jill to come pick me up and be a hostage in the car. I don't want to be a hostage in anybody's car. And Jill would come from Huntington to Norwalk and pick me up and take me back to Huntington, my first home group, the Triangle Group. And she showed me how to do Alcoholics Anonymous. She didn't tell me. She showed me. She drugged me everywhere with her. I was bitter and angry and really rough. I would snicker behind her. And everyone was saying, hi, Jill. And I'd be like, no one's saying hi to me. And she got me through those steps and she got me into my amends and she got me into my amends in the part that I'm supposed to call people and make an appointment, that I can't show up to my ex-boyfriend's house that just kicked me out, and that I can't go back to, those old friends and just show up where they are because I know where you're at. And she said, you need to make an appointment. And what I know today is this, is that anybody that I called, I 100% would call and say, this is Gloria. There'd be that pause. And I would say, I'd like to make an appointment with you. I have an amends that I need to make. I've never used those words before in my life. And what I know is that no one ever asked me what amends meant. They all said, yeah. Or they said, sounds like you're doing good, bye-bye. With the minute that I have left, I'll tell you this, is that in Alcoholics Anonymous, Jill got me through those steps. She taught me that the traditions were the respect that I have for Alcoholics Anonymous and the principles that I would bring into my personal life as well and into the workplace. That I've been able to hold a job since then, and no one's ever had to fire me as a result of my bad behavior. I've had some attitude issues at work, but no one's had to fire me because of them. been married in Alcoholics Anonymous and divorced. I've been the scandal. I've been all the things. I'm also married to a man that I walk side by side with in Alcoholics Anonymous today. And we're raising a daughter who's 14, who's nothing like me. She's not on her way to a care unit. And, you know, she knows nothing about how I used to live, and she doesn't live that way. I'm grateful for the fact that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a place that I can know how I can go to the book. And when it asks me a question, I answer it. When it tells me to do something, I do it. And that today I live in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, not on the outskirts anymore. That I'm of service and that I help other women in Alcoholics Anonymous and take them through that book. And for that, I'm extremely grateful, and I thank you.